This is Something Curious, a Northern Michigan University podcast connecting community through conversation. I'm your host, Haley Bussell, and you're listening to Something Curious. Within each episode, we pull a person from Northern's community and Marquette's community to discuss a similar subject matter. This week, where green is gold, we're going to be discussing environmentalism, conservationism, sustainability, and a lot of things along that line. Today's conversation includes the Superior Watershed Partnership and Land Trust, and EcoReps, one of Northern Michigan University's student organizations. For our first guest, I'm going to let her introduce herself. She's kind of impressive.
Yeah, so my name's Olivia Walcott. I am starting my senior year here at Northern. I study environmental science with a concentration in natural resources, and I'm originally from Allendale, Michigan.
Sweet. I guess I don't really know your backstory and how you got involved in environmental protection just in general, because I feel like either you have like one crazy experience that happens that kind of just like opens your eyes, or you have like a family who's really into sustainability. Like, how did that happen for you?
Yeah, so I was really lucky to grow up with a mother who is a school teacher.
Okay.
And I think that's like one of the best ways to grow up, honestly. So all of my memories from my childhood are outside. So either on the shores of Lake Michigan or in the fields on my family's farm, because my dad's side of the family is all farmers and have been for like since they came over from Germany.
Wow.
Yeah, so there's definitely like a long history of land use on actually both sides of my family. My parents were high school sweethearts.
Oh my gosh.
Are my great-grandfathers on my mom's side, and then my great-grandfather on my dad's side used to thrash wheat together.
Well, that's cool. So you've just always been around it then.
Yeah, so all of my childhood memories are outside, and so of course I developed this like beautiful sense of place for my family's farm and Lake Michigan. And then when I was in high school, I was just wildly curious and just like loved learning, and that was much to do like from my mother just driving me around to every single library within like a 100-mile radius.
That's so cool.
And I like started high school, and I was like this like high achieving student, but I really didn't know what I wanted to study. And honestly, like, I would not be here today if it wasn't for Mrs. Sukome, who is my AP environmental science teacher. And she just really showed me how she changed my mind on what science could be. And so that's when I decided I was going to study environmental science. And then after coming to Northern, I've just had like wonderful mentor after wonderful mentor that has like increased my drive and my love of learning.
Yeah, well, there's definitely something to be said for mentorship. Super cool.
Yeah, and so I was actually a part of the freshman fellowship program, which is one of I wouldn't be here where I am today without that program.
Yeah.
So I was Dr. Susie Ziegler's fellow, and she is the head of the EECS department. And so immediately I was really involved in everything within my future field.
Nice. Do you want to tell everybody what EECS means? Because I know sometimes, like, I know when I came here, because I transferred to Northern, like, I had no idea what these, like, lingos were. So what does that mean?
So EECS is short for the Earth, Environmental, and Geographical Sciences Department.
Okay.
It's formerly the Geography Department.
Okay.
So.
Cool. Nice. I took an intro to environmental science class. I don't know much about it, but it was really interesting. Yeah, I like my professor a lot. I guess we should talk about like a little bit more about eco reps.
Yeah, so we have 30 eco reps who applied in March, and we accepted everyone who applied, which was really awesome that we were able to do that.
Yeah.
And so those eco reps are getting really formal training. They have 5 seminars per semester about a different topic related to sustainability, and then they volunteer 2 to 4 hours a week doing something within Northern's community or the Marquette community.
Awesome. So as an eco rep, your responsibilities include going to seminars and then using your training, and then what was the other?
Yeah, so going to seminars, volunteering your time within the community, and doing some sort of programming where you're talking to your fellow peers about sustainability.
So it's very specific in what you're doing. So it's directed, but yet you're learning, and it's
right. And we want it to be really holistic, so a environmental studies and sustainability major can get just as much out of it as a business major.
Awesome.
So I'm really excited about all of our topics. We'll hopefully be visiting a local farm, but we'll also be visiting local businesses and talking about economic sustainability.
Yeah.
We have a personal health right around January.
Okay.
I'm really excited for that seminar.
That's so important during the winter too.
Yeah, definitely.
Holy cow. Yeah. Does that encompass like mental health too then?
Of course, yeah.
Okay, cool. So I guess getting back more to like how it started, can you tell me a little bit more about that too?
Really, like, I cannot take credit for all of it. So it was really like, this has been years coming.
Okay.
So after my freshman year, my freshman fellowship project was actually designing a composting system that could be used within the dorms.
Okay.
And I never really got to launch it just because there wasn't that like institutional support for it, because I didn't have an office of sustainability I could go to or anything like that. But I had all these other wonderful students who were older than me that like were really just like cheering me on and like so proud of me in every way. And so my sophomore year, these older students decided that we, all of the environmental groups, all of like the socially involved groups, needed to meet and just like get our thoughts together and what we wanted for Northern.
Well, and like how what your goals were, so then you guys could maybe like work together and have like, if you're like-minded, then you can do things.
Yeah. Right, and what we as students needed and wanted to further sustainability on campus, because we didn't see it through other avenues. We were like, if we want to make this happen, it's going to be through us.
Yeah.
And so we'd meet on like Friday nights when we could be out doing things. And we just, we really started at the time, Rachel Headings and Ella, I can't say her last name, they were on the Sustainability Advisory Council, and they were talking about like eco reps and everything that was just like all of these models that the Association for the Advancement of Sustainability in Higher Education had set up. So after we had these meetings all through my sophomore year, and then at the end of my sophomore year, every single one of them graduated.
Oh, man.
And so George and I just like, we were roommates at that point, really good friends. And we looked at each other and we're like, this is on us to launch this EcoRept program. Like, we're going to make it work. And at the time we were in our second year of this student leader fellowship program. And in your second year, you take on an internship. And originally we had both designed these like wonderful internships, and then we were going to also do EcoReps.
Okay.
And at one point we just looked at each other and we're like, we only have like 24 hours in the day. There's no way. And we were both going to do like these two internships. So we're like, no, we're going to make our community service internship for SLFP Eco Reps, and we're just going to do it. And right away we had the backing of every member of the Sustainability Advisory Council, which was awesome. They like really signed off on it.
Well, do you want to give some examples in what Eco Reps has done in the past year?
Yeah, definitely. So it's funny because like while I was like preparing for this podcast, I always have to go back and look at actually like our trifold that we use at Student Org Fair, so I can remember all of the programming.
Yeah, well, and I know that just from me being here for a couple of years now, like, it's definitely like I've heard about it just through like the grapevine, and you guys have a lot of resources out there, like whether it be like just a poster or just like a Facebook event or something, like you guys kind of like use a vast majority of things to communicate, which I think is awesome. So you just kind of like get it out there, and if people want to go, they can go.
So some programming that we ran this past year was our second annual zero waste game. So at a hockey game, we work with the concession stands and in dining to provide compostable materials and that sort of thing. And actually this year we were able to do it at the Tech versus NMU hockey game. So and we have like volunteers that help you sort your trash and stuff, and we diverted like over 90% of our waste from the landfill.
And that, like, man, it's just you guys doing it too. So I feel like, how many volunteers do you guys get?
We get like 35 volunteers.
Okay, so that's nice. At least it's not like 5 to 10 people, because I can't imagine doing that. Like, if any of you like have never been to a hockey game before, like the amount of people that go is crazy. But then you talk about like the Michigan Tech hockey game, and then that's, I don't even know if I can estimate how many people would be there.
Yeah, I mean, the stadium's always
just
full.
Full. Like, and it sells out too. Like, you get people waiting outside. So that's crazy. That's a lot of waste.
Yeah, and I mean, it was a really great demonstration on what we could be doing every single hockey game if, like, these are the materials that we continue to pick. Environmental studies and sustainability on campus is one of our fastest-growing majors. And so students are really excited to just have a opportunity to volunteer and just talk to people about where their waste is going.
Yeah, definitely. So. And I think it's one of those, at least to me, somebody who's kind of, like, trying to get more involved in being sustainable, Like, I feel like it's one of those conversations that you start to have with people who don't pay attention to sustainability, mm-hmm. and then you start talking about it with them, and right. then they get kind of freaked out because they're like, oh, sustainability, like what? And I just, yeah. I feel like it shouldn't be that way. Like, so it's cool that you guys are even just having conversations about it, because right there alone, it's exposing people to something yeah. that might make them uncomfortable.
And those conversations are so important, and that's what Eco Reps is based on, yeah. is those conversations. So yeah. in like the way that this program is set up, and with all of the programming that we run campus wide, mm-hmm. we're thinking about those conversations because they're just so important to have. And so often people think of sustainability as the same thing as environmentalism, mm-hmm. and it's not. So sustainability is like a holistic worldview. Okay. I like to think about it as like concentric circles.
Okay.
And the very center circle is economics. Okay. And so making sure that we have like a economy that runs well and just makes money. Mm-hmm. And then that is constrained by social equality.
Okay.
So making sure that that environment does right by its people. So things like labor unions, mm-hmm. and not having child employment or yeah. child workers.
Like labor. Yeah. yeah.
And then all of those circles are constrained by the environment. So carrying capacity, mm-hmm. and what our environment can actually give us, yeah. and replenish at the same
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
So with each one of those circles, there's space for everyone to mm-hmm. do something and take action, mm-hmm. in both their personal lives, but also within their career.
Yeah, that's a really interesting visual. I've never really thought of it that way. And that mm-hmm. makes it a lot more clear, I feel like, just because there are different layers with it. Mm-hmm. And like I was saying earlier, like it kind of can be an abstract thought if you're just like talking about like, no, I didn't know that, like, sustainability, environmentalism, different mm-hmm. things, but they right. can work together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How important would you say collaboration has been in the Eco Reps process? Because I know that you said that you had people who were older than you kind of mentoring,
mm-hmm.
and I'm assuming you probably have carried, like, the mentorship
oh, yeah.
mentality on with you,
mm-hmm.
I guess.
Definitely. So, like, even I was actually reflecting on this the other day,
sure.
on
yeah.
a bike ride, because I was like, you know, like, it's my senior year. I want to be that fourth-year student mm-hmm. that Olivia, who was a first-year, second-year, third-year student, needed
yeah.
and found in other people, but I want to be that for other people. So
yeah.
I was actually reflecting on that the other
so
day.
Cool.
But getting back to, like, your question about collaboration.
Yeah.
So I'm an environmental scientist, mm-hmm. and I can make posters on Canva,
yeah.
and I can do a lot, but I cannot bring the same amount of knowledge that a women's study major would bring or that a business major would bring. Mm-hmm. So collaboration has been so incredibly important in the development of Eco Reps because it needs to be a holistic view of sustainability. And I recognize that I myself cannot provide that
yeah.
for Eco Reps and for the campus community. So it's been nice. I recognize that. And then because of that, I haven't been afraid to reach out to literally anyone
yeah.
In regards to running programming or just like, hey, like, I think that Eco Reps should be educated on intersectionality. Can mm-hmm. you help me out with this?
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's super important. I think it's awesome as with the student organizations on campus that you can kind of pull like any, if you think of Northern, this is what I like to use as like an idea. It's like you think of Northern as like a tiny town, like a little individual like city, mm-hmm. and you have like all your different majors and you have your different student organizations, and you can think like, okay, what do I need right now? And like you can pull from like all these different groups of people, and you'd be so surprised and like how much other people want to collaborate with you. You just have to like have that initial step to, you're like, hey, like, I want to do something cool.
Yeah, and you have just like amazing students at Northern and amazing professors.
I oh my gosh,
a
yeah.
lot of our professors could be teaching at like many other universities,
yeah.
but they choose to be here
yeah.
because they want to be in Marquette. And that's the same thing with like so many of our students.
Yeah.
They could be at like really big schools, but they choose to be at Northern.
Definitely.
Because of the community.
So you were named Student Organization of the Year. That's really cool. And you could just turn around, like you started Eco Reps and then you guys turned it around and became the Organization of the Year, which is so awesome. I was there for when you guys were like announced as the winners and I was like, yes, so cool.
Yeah,
How did that feel?
I mean, that was very cool, but definitely being recognized within the campus community and other people coming up to us and talking to us about it, it really made like those hours so much worth it. And
yeah.
we did recognize that like this impact on Northern is here to stay. Yeah. It's not going to be like Georgia graduated and then I graduate next year and Eco Reps will be gone.
Yeah.
It has a great legacy and a great model to continue on. Mm-hmm. And we were very, very intentional about creating something that would survive long into Northern's future.
Yeah, it's sustainable.
Yes, exactly.
You
can't have a peer-to-peer sustainability education program without a sustainable model.
Exactly. That would be weirdly and sadly ironic if it didn't work, but you figured it out, so that's really cool. I guess something that has been floating around Northern with just EcoApps, you guys wanted people to vote on the Green Fund.
Yep.
And you want to tell us a little bit more about that and kind of like what ended up happening after the Green Fund?
Of course.
Yeah.
Essentially, it was a referendum item or an opinion piece
that
was on our voting ballot. And the wording was, would you support a $5 opt-out fee that would go to student sustainability efforts on campus? Mm-hmm. And we decided to go through the referendum item and having students vote on it because when we went to the association for the Advancement of Sustainability in Higher Education Conference.
And that is, just to clarify.
So AISHE is the acronym, and it's an organization that supports sustainability in higher education at every university in the country. I mean, they're not at every university, but they can.
Yeah.
So they're the ones that provide that STARS ranking for how sustainable your university is ranked.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So it's like the, I don't want to say governing body, but overseeing body of sustainability in higher education.
Okay.
So
I didn't know that existed. That's really cool that that's a thing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so they have a very long acronym.
But here we go for the acronyms.
It's amazing. So AISHE is actually, they are the ones who actually started the Eco Reps program.
Sure.
But it needs to be fitted to each university's idiosyncrasies. And so some places have Eco Reps programs based in their residence halls, and it's only for freshmen.
Okay.
And some people have it based in facilities, and it's really for like engineering students or like people who are going like the more tech route.
Yeah.
So AISHE provides us with those models. And after talking to other people who run Eco Reps programs at, I mean, schools across North America, so even some in Canada, we saw this pattern of students wanting, like opting to pay $5 more per semester in order to support sustainability. And we recognized that as something that was very attainable for Northern.
Yeah.
And so after, that was another reason we really wanted to like push our programming and have high attendance and have a real impact.
Yeah.
So that when we did push for this Green Fund referendum item, that it passed. And it did pass. It passed at over 75%.
Wow. And that's a big amount.
Yep.
I know
and
I was speaking to you earlier, you mentioned that that's like way above like the voting.
Right. Yeah. Normally, like, something, like, at 50%, like, then it passes. But, like, I mean, I guess if you wanted to get technical, this could be a mandate.
You have to do it. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was really interesting. But so that would essentially provide some budget for Eco Reps to operate, but also could be potential budgeting for a Center for Sustainability on campus. So right now the Board of Trustees and like our treasurer is kind of reviewing what that would look like. And I don't want to speak for them for what they're doing, but essentially we went to the Board of Education, Board of Trustees, Georgia Harrison and I, and a few of our Eco Reps went to the Board of Trustees and we said, hey, this is everything we've done. We won Student Organization of the Year. We have saved the university money through our Turn Down the Lights campaign. Students really like us. This is what millennials and Gen Z want. This is what they're looking for in universities. We encourage you to start the Green Fund fee, and they wanted us to begin right away working on it, so they allocated $20,000 per semester.
Oh, cool. I don't even know what I would do in that situation if they're like, here's $20,000 to do exactly what
I
want to do.
I
could see that. I could totally see that.
Like, my jaw was on the floor.
Now, I wanted to mention some things that Olivia and I talked about while we weren't recording, and she gave me some recommendations that I wanted to give to you as well. So, First, she gave me two recommendations for podcasts, one being Women on the Road, and the other is titled Welcome to Highvale, and that one's a paranormal podcast, so you've been warned. And then this other recommendation was a book by Terry Tempest Williams titled Refuge. Undoubtedly, we've learned a lot from Olivia, and up next, we have the program director from the Superior Watershed Partnership and Land Trust here in Marquette.
My name is Emily Leach, and I work for the Superior Watershed Partnership. I'm based out of Marquette, but we work all across the UP. Our mission statement, okay. I'll read that first, okay, and sure. Then throughout conversation, I'll dive into some other projects. The mission of Superior Watershed Partnership, we like to call ourselves SWP, because it's a lot easier to say, is to protect and improve the natural resources of the Upper Peninsula of Michigan on a watershed basis by promoting responsible individual and community actions that ensure a sustainable environment, encourage a sustainable economy, and help improve quality of life.
And I know that just based off of like me living in the community, I know that you guys are really reliant on the community members themselves for volunteering and doing like projects and helping with you guys. What would you say, like, how big of an importance is that, like, getting people to sign up and help you guys?
So very important. Mm-hmm. We only have roughly 10 people on full-time staff, and this year our budget is over $6 million. So that's a lot to manage for roughly 10 people. Mm-hmm. We do have approximately 40 people on a seasonal staff. Mm-hmm. But then other than that, we rely on volunteers to help with projects or just help get the word out for this type of work.
Yeah, definitely.
It's awesome that we have NMU in our community. Mm-hmm. A lot of our volunteers are students that are looking to dip their toes in the water in the environmental field.
Literally and figuratively.
Yep.
Yeah, it's cool because I know that even if you're not necessarily like an environmental major at Northern, you have opportunities to help the environment like all around Marquette. And I know that seems like SWP is like one of the most forefront organizations that's helping with that, at least in our area. So that's a really cool thing to know.
Yeah, and I think a huge part with that is branding. Mm-hmm. We hold multiple easements, land easements in the area, and work with the local trail systems.
Yeah.
So we do have our logo posted around on a lot of the trails.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we put up posters for volunteer events, and I think it's just a good visual for people to see that and then realize that they are a part of that community.
Yeah.
That it's not just Superior Watershed Partnership. Mm-hmm. There's a standalone organization, but it's really the movement that we're trying to create.
And it's nice as someone who lives in this community knowing that the organizations are working together as opposed to being separated. I guess something else that I think would be really neat for us to touch on would be how you got involved with Northern Michigan University, because I know our stories are really similar.
Sure. So I moved up to Marquette to go to NMU in 2009, but I actually came up to Marquette a few years before that because my oldest sister went to Northern, and first time we came up here, we were in Northern Wisconsin at our extended family's cabin and drove from there up to Marquette and actually saw a mama bear and a couple of baby bears cross the road.
Your first time?
My first time.
I've never seen a bear up here. That's crazy.
And I've only seen a couple of bears since then. So, yeah, literally the first time. And
then it's like a sign.
It was, yeah. And then pulled into Marquette and saw the lake. Mm-hmm. And I grew up on Lake Michigan, so I've always lived on the Great Lakes, but Mother Superior is definitely something special.
Yeah, we're definitely very lucky to live here. Now, I know that the amount of people that are up in the UP during the summer grows quite a bit, and not only does the tourism population grow up here during the summer, but your team at the SWP grows as well. I'm sure that has to affect the watershed pretty greatly, but what kind of programs do you guys run during the summers?
So our main program during the summer is the Great Lakes Conservation Corps, the GLCC. Mm-hmm. We like our acronyms.
Nice. It helps, you know.
It does. So that's my main role at SWP, is managing the GLCC.
Okay, got it.
And this summer we have just over 30 seasonal employees, mm-hmm. and they work from about mid-May through mid-August, and then we'll have a fall crew,
okay.
Either for non-students or mm-hmm. people that have a flexible schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And they work on a variety of projects mm-hmm. throughout the summer. One of our large ones this summer, we have two specialized crews,
ooh.
And they're actually working in the UP and also northern Wisconsin
mm-hmm.
and Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Doing dam inventories of all the dams in the Lake Superior watershed.
Wow.
And then we're partnering with Lakehead University
mm-hmm.
In Thunder Bay.
Okay.
And they are inventorying all the dams on the Canadian side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that information is just going into a large database. So
yeah.
they're flying drones in the air and taking photos of every single dam
mm-hmm.
that we have access to.
Yeah.
And basic measurements, structural integrity,
mm-hmm.
Looking for fish passage or non-fish mm-hmm. passage.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's just one of the projects we're doing this summer. We manage between 20 and 30 grants
oh, wow.
a year, so
yeah.
we're primarily grant-funded.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the dam inventory, that's one of them. But just to list off a couple other ones, some larger projects we do that then the GLCC will come and assist on
mm-hmm.
are culvert replacements.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll try to do one or two of those a year,
mm-hmm.
Partner with different agencies,
mm-hmm.
and then contract with people to actually do the replacement
okay.
and have our crews come back in and do some of the handwork.
Okay. So for somebody who doesn't know what culvert replacement means, what does that mean?
So at any road, stream, or river crossing,
mm-hmm.
there's either a bridge or a culvert.
Okay.
And the culvert is just the big, typically concrete pipe that goes through.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those aren't big enough for the river flow or mm-hmm. potential river flow
mm-hmm.
if a large storm event comes through,
yeah.
such as the one in Houghton County recently.
Flash flooding, yeah. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense now, because that's why a lot of the roads are collapsing, because the culverts weren't large enough.
Mm-hmm.
That makes a lot of sense.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. So that's one of the projects that you guys are working on as well.
Yep.
Yeah. And I know that completely blindsided everybody in Houghton, because nothing like that has ever happened before. I mean, it was like a record amount of rain, but still, I mean, that's crazy that's still like that happened here. You don't expect that to happen
yeah.
where you live, and then it does, and it's just wild.
Yeah, and I mean, people don't expect it, but more and more we're seeing these large storm events coming through, so
mm-hmm.
it's good to think about it and get these networks in place. Another huge project that just fell into our laps mm-hmm. was that storm in Houghton, actually.
Mm-hmm.
We have the flexibility with our seasonal crews to be able to move scheduling around for projects.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, we have really cool project partners that
yeah.
let us move things around, but
yeah.
we
yeah.
actually were in Houghton within 24 hours of the storm event. We
wow.
sent a couple of crews up there to help clear out people's
wow.
basements and yards,
mm-hmm.
you know, feet of silt and rocks
mm-hmm.
up against their houses, washed out foundations.
Gosh.
And then,
yeah.
I mean, we were there for a month. We had multiple crews we kept sending back, and we ended up taking over the donations and volunteer center.
Oh, wow.
So it went from being in the field to
mm-hmm.
actually managing other volunteers
mm-hmm.
and
man.
Just tons of donations. It's
yeah.
it's cool to see that side of things and like see that people want to help,
mm-hmm.
but they're not really sure how to help exactly. So a
yeah.
lot of people will just buy things to donate to a
and
cause like that.
Maybe I don't need all of these things
yeah.
anymore. Yeah.
Maybe we don't need 10 cases of baked beans.
Yeah.
Maybe that, you know, you could donate something else instead
yeah.
or just donate your money to help fund the
removal
coordination of this. Yeah.
Or, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you guys are super important, especially because in a situation like the Houghton flash floods, like no one really knows what to do and how to coordinate volunteers and where they can help. So it's really cool to see that you guys are able to make such a big impact there. But I mean, you guys could probably just go on and on about the things that you've completed or you're doing throughout the year, and not even just during the summer.
Yeah, there's lots and lots of different projects. I'll just give a quick list of other projects.
Sure.
Trail building and nature tourism type projects. Mm-hmm. Tree planting, wildlife habitat restoration, erosion control, stream restoration, mm-hmm. environmental monitoring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so a little bit new to our list of projects, we have expanded the Great Lakes Conservation Corps
mm-hmm.
to have the Energy Conservation Corps,
mm-hmm.
which started the beginning of 2018,
mm-hmm.
which bounced off of our energy assistance program.
Mm-hmm.
We have been managing for the last 5 or 6 years. So bouncing off of the Great Lakes Conservation Corps, we started the Energy Conservation Corps.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been working through the Michigan Energy Assistance Program, mm-hmm. which is state and federal funding to help low-income families pay their heat and electric bill.
Wow.
And then also have sustainability, budgeting,
mm-hmm.
energy
mm-hmm.
conservation,
mm-hmm.
education
yeah.
out of that. This year, the ECC, okay. as we call
Energy it. Energy Conservation Corps.
Yes.
Got it. Okay,
another acronym.
It's all good, though. We've got to figure it out.
The ECC has been going into some of these homes
mm-hmm.
that have been working through our MEAP program, the
okay.
Michigan Energy Assistance Program.
Another
one. It's
necessary,
though. You need it.
Yes.
How do they work? Like, don't MEAP. Nice.
Yeah, not meat. Meep.
Meep. Not meat.
So the ECC has been going into low-income homes, doing mm-hmm. basic energy assessments,
mm-hmm.
and giving tips and tricks for how they can reduce their energy load,
mm-hmm.
as well as installing basic measures.
Mm-hmm.
So changing out LED lighting, mm-hmm. doing draft sealants, installing door sweeps,
mm-hmm.
pipe wrapping on their hot water heater,
yeah.
Pipes, that sort of thing. But starting this summer, we are installing some small solar arrays on these homes.
I'm infatuated with solar energy. I want to do it so bad. So you're installing solar
on people's homes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So the Board of Light and Power
mm-hmm.
solar garden, people actually buy into that.
Mm-hmm.
garden.
Yeah.
And what we're doing is installing solar directly onto people's homes.
Oh, okay. That's amazing. I'm so excited to hear that. I didn't know that was happening.
Yeah,
so that's
very new. Yep.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. So is that going to continue then just into the future throughout the year as well?
Yes. So
yes.
we're working
okay.
on getting additional funding to keep it going.
Mm-hmm.
Right now we have 3 or 4 different funding sources
mm-hmm.
and about 6 or more solar arrays
mm-hmm.
that we're installing on people's homes.
Wow, that's
yeah.
amazing.
So we're working to build up the ECC
oh
program,
yeah,
which is awesome. I mean, not only is it an entry-level job for
mm-hmm.
people on the ECC,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
learning how to install solar and
yeah.
reduce energy, but then also helping these low-income families that
mm-hmm.
kind of status quo, they get pushed to the side, and you know
mm-hmm.
you don't really think
yeah.
a low-income household could pay
yeah.
for a solar panel.
Yeah,
that's kind of flipping that around.
Yeah, and giving that to them first, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. That is so amazing because that, I mean, most of the difficult parts in paying for things during the month-to-month payments, it's coming from paying for utilities and those underlying costs, which are not cheap.
No, and the UP has, second to Hawaii, the highest electric rates in the country.
Why is that?
Because essentially we are an island up here. We're a
yeah.
peninsula, and there's these long power lines coming up from Wisconsin, but
mm-hmm.
we're not connected to the lower peninsula,
mm-hmm.
and Canada's to our north.
Yeah. So stepping back from the ECC and moving back to the Superior Watershed Partnership, if I was a Northern student, which I am, what kind of things would I be able to do to get involved?
So a couple different ways.
Okay.
First thing, I would recommend volunteering with us.
Mm-hmm.
And you could do that by contacting me at emily@superiorwatersheds.org.
There's an S on there.
There's an S, yep.
Okay, got it.
Or just follow us on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, not Instagram yet, but I think soon we will be.
Soon enough.
Yep. But just shoot us a Facebook message and we will add you to our volunteer list. I would say that would be step one. Step two would be to apply for the GLCC. Once again, you contact me for that.
And the email is.
Yeah, but my just general advice for people trying to work for us is gain as much experience as you can, either with us or with other organizations. Reach out to us. Don't worry about being annoying. We like persistent people and people that, you know, want to help and actually do the work.
Well, thank you for coming in. I appreciate you giving me some of your time and your guys' very, very, very busy schedule. I can't even imagine how many things you have going on.
Well, thank you for hosting us. We always say that outreach is not our strong suit, so it's always nice to have an opportunity to be able to tell our story.
Yeah, well, we're happy you did, and I'm excited to see what comes of it, maybe with more Northern students reaching out to you guys. So,
yeah. Wonderful. Well, thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to our first ever episode of Something Curious. We did it. It's titled Where Green is Gold. Again, I'm your host, Haley Bussell. This is a Northern Michigan University podcast that aims to connect community through conversation. We sure hope that you learned something new today. I know that I did. Something Curious is released bi-weekly, so we will catch you then. Thanks for listening, and please don't forget to stay curious.